Well, I thank you all for being here, especially you folks from the other side of the Big River. I've been kind of watching it, and the flood warnings are made it a little doubtful that we'd be able to get across, but apparently when they say it's flooding, it's talking about the fields and not the road, because we were able to get through this morning. I was a little bit concerned at whether or not we'd be able to, so we left a little bit early in case we had to take a detour. You know, water is such an important ingredient to life. We kind of take it for granted here when we have too much of it sometimes. But after our visit to the Holy Land, my wife and I, when we were there in 08, the Sea of Galilee was down 13 feet, and the Dead Sea was down 30 feet. We went up in Masada. You know, that's that big palace that Herod built on top of the mountain. You get up on there and you can look down and you can see the Dead Sea. And you could see for miles this great big white expanse of salt around the Dead Sea. How much the water had receded because the Jews were using it up. They are fantastic farmers and they just use that water like crazy. They supply most of Europe's vegetables and fruits, which surprised me. I didn't realize that. So water is a very important ingredient, and it's also a very important ingredient in our faith, isn't it? As we receive the water with the Word in baptism, that water with the Word is such a powerful thing for your life and for mine. Sometimes we take it for granted. I shared with the class this morning, a good thing to do is to take that baptism certificate, frame it, and hang it on a wall in your bedroom. So it's the first thing you see when you get up in the morning and the last thing you see before you go to bed at night, to remind us constantly that we are baptized children of God. God has made a promise to you personally, promising His love, His forgiveness, and life everlasting. And with that kind of a promise, we can truly rejoice in the Lord always. Again, he says, rejoice as we continue to receive the wonderful blessings that he gives us in baptism and the Lord's Supper, but especially through his word. Let us begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning. And though we have in no way deserved your goodness, you will abundantly provide for all our wants of body and soul. Give us, we pray, your Holy Spirit, that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness toward us. Give thanks for all your benefits and serve you in willing obedience through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us now confess our sins. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we are sinners. We confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we pray, O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake, forgive us all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your word and the true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto you. And in this stead, and by the command of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us continue by singing, Bless the Lord.
Morning. Ooh, I'm awfully loud. I'm Kevin Chigg. I'm one of the elders here at St. Mark's. The first reading is from Numbers 21, verses 4 through 9. They traveled from Mount Hor, that is the Israelites, along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many of the Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he will take these snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. How do you guys feel about snakes? Raise your hand if you absolutely love them and they're fun and you can't wait to be around them. All right, we had zero at first service. Raise your hand if you're a little bit nervous about snakes. They make you a little bit, little uncomfortable. And that's probably most of us. Well, this is just a decoration that we have at our house, and it kind of freaks our neighbors out sometimes. But I want to talk about snakes a little bit from the reading. So God's people are out in the desert, and God has freed them from Egypt. They are not slaves anymore, but they're not happy. And they're whining and they're complaining. "We don't have food, we don't have water, we're miserable. Why did you even bring us out of Egypt? This is terrible." And God says, "I'm going to send snakes." And snakes come in and among the people, and they bite them, and some of them die. And then they realize, "I've sinned. I've sinned against God. I've sinned against Moses. I've hurt him. How can we make this better?" Moses prays to God, and God says, "Take a snake, a metal snake, put it on a pole." So Moses does indeed do that. And he puts a snake on a pole. And if the people trust God when they get bitten and look at that snake, they can live. God saves the people from something they couldn't save themselves from. And they put their trust in him when they looked at that snake. We have a problem as well, much bigger than snake bites. We have a problem of sin. And sin is when we do anything that hurts other people or is disobedient to God. And just like the Israelites, we can't fix that problem on our own. We need God to help us. God doesn't put a snake on a pole to help us with our sin. God puts his son Jesus on a cross. And when Jesus died, he had all our sins on him. And when he rose again, those sins were washed clean. That means we can be with him forever in heaven. And it also means that right now, today, and every day, we can look to God. And God can help us make choices and decisions and use words that will point other people and help other people to look to him for help as well. And they might have that same beautiful gift that we do of heaven forever. So maybe we need to still be a little nervous about snakes. Maybe we're going to worry about that a little bit. But we never have to worry about whether God is going to help us with the things that we need. We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for always being there to help us. Thank you for your love, and thank you for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Mrs. A. Thank you especially for taking that varmint out of here.
Don't want to have it here? No.
Okay, now it's time for a little worship. And so if the children from age 4 to 4th grade gather around the cross, and then you will have your own special service. We have two texts for this morning. A reading from Ephesians chapter 2 and one from John chapter 3. These are two of the three assigned passages for this Sunday's pericopes. Pastor Bob has been following the pericopes every Sunday as he preaches from the Old Testament. The Old Testament lesson for this morning has already been read. It's about the bronze serpent. Today's text, the epistle lesson and the gospel lesson, both get into that bronze serpent, which was elevated, so that if you look at him, you are saved. Christ is the one to whom we look for salvation. In each of these passages from Ephesians 2 and John 3 is a pivotal statement of Scripture that is very important to you and to me in our faith. And as I read it, I want to see if you could pick it out. From Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. As for you, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages we might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So far the epistle lesson. The Holy Gospel lesson is from John chapter 3, beginning at the 14th verse. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, and so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love the darkness instead of the light. Their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light, for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have seen has been done in the sight of God. So far the Holy Gospel lesson. May we see the first slide, please. What were the people to do to be saved? They were to look at that bronze serpent. And that was their gift. That was their salvation. You and I have a different salvation. It isn't a bronze serpent that we have raised up on the cross, but Jesus Christ who was raised up for us to look to. And therefore, God is encouraging us always to look unto him. And this is the verdict, that light has come into the world. There's a lot of difference between light and darkness. Darkness is nothing. Darkness is nothing but the absence of light. Light is something. Light is God. Light is Christ. The Bible teaches us in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was with God. The life of Jesus Christ was the life of man, and that life was the light of man. And Jesus is the light that shines in you and me. What's the difference of that light? That light that has come into the world. In history, we had two ages. One was the Dark Ages, and the other was the Age of Enlightenment. What was the significance? In the Dark Ages, what reigned supreme? It was ignorance. People were ignorant. They just didn't really have schooling. They didn't really have much training. They didn't have much explanation. It wasn't until the Age of Enlightenment began with the printing press, where people were able to get the printed material, were able to get even the Bible. Luther translated the Bible at that time into German, into the language of the people, so that they could read it and they could be enlightened as to who is God and who they were and how much they needed God. The Age of Enlightenment. That's the Age of Intelligence. Intelligence. You know, in the army, there are four different divisions. The S1 or the G1 is personnel. G2 or S2 is intelligence. G3 or S3 is operations. G4 or S4, that's supply, logistics. G2 is intelligence. Now, we trust in God, don't we? We trust in God. We pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because as enlightened people, we know that he knows the big picture. He sees everything continually from creation to the last day of the earth, to the end of the earth. He sees that big picture continually. He knows. His intelligence is superior to any other intelligence. Our intelligence, yours and mine, a little bit, you can hardly see it. And so my will, based on my intelligence, well, that's what I want. But what's more important, what I want or what God wants? His intelligence is far superior. His way is first because he's God. His way is best because he's God. He is the creator of all things. He has the power to make it happen. He has the love for you and me to do what's best for us and the kingdom. Because he's God, we trust in him, in his will. This is how you and I are enlightened, how we have the light that has come into the world. May we have the next verse, please. Okay, people love the darkness instead of the light. Why do we love the darkness? Because then you can't see who I am. You guys are all wearing masks. Do you know we all wear masks all the time to hide who we really are, to hide our sinful selves? We don't go around advertising all our sins, do we? But it is important that we come here and confess those sins, that we acknowledge them so we can receive the forgiveness. We can receive the forgiveness that God has given us, and we confess those sins here, making us aware of the wonderful gift that God has given us in that perfection, in that forgiveness. So everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. Do you remember that old man, Ben Franklin? What did he do for the city of Philadelphia to reduce the criminal activity? He introduced streetlights, because the light would drive away the evil. The sinners did not want to do their sin in the light where they could be seen and where they could be caught. Their deeds would be exposed. Our deeds are exposed in the light. You know, when our deeds are exposed by that light, it shows us that I need a Savior. It shows that I need someone to take away those sins, because those sins are what are going to earn for me eternal death and hell. And that's not asleep, my friends. That is eternal suffering, eternally being burned up. That doesn't sound like fun. Believe me, it's not. And so, as my deeds are exposed, I need a Savior. Next line, please. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. And this is our age of enlightenment, where you and I study the Word of God. As you and I become more and more aware of how wonderful God is and how wonderful His gift of salvation is. In a Bible class, I shared with the people one day, I said, if we could just experience 5 seconds of hell, we would be on our knees constantly saying, thank you, God. Thank you for saving me from such a place. And one of the ladies in the class, she said, yeah. And if we could experience just 5 seconds of heaven, we would be on our knees again saying, thank you, God. Thank you for giving us that future instead of the other one. God has blessed us by bringing us into the light. May we see the next slide, please. So that it may be seen plainly what they have done has been done in the sight of God. You know, I don't find it very comforting sometimes to realize that God sees me and all the time, that He always is watching me, because that means He sees all the rotten, dirty things that I've been doing. That's why I wear the mask. I wear that mask every day to keep people from seeing how bad I really am, because if they could see the real me, they'd hate me. And that's why we need to be seen by God. We're seen by God because now He is there to protect me, to keep me safe, to give me the strength to say no to sin. This is the gift that God gives us in that faith, is our love for God, that we want to now obey His commandments. Not that we have to, but we want to. The next slide, please. Dead in trespasses and sins. When people come into the world, we come into the world spiritually dead. We need to be quickened. We need to be made alive. And this is what God does for you and me as He gives us His Holy Spirit through the Word and sacraments. Through the Word especially, He gives us this conversion. He converts us to be Christian. He converts us to be alive spiritually. And that being alive spiritually is the best that we can experience. Without it, we remain spiritually dead. Now that's different from eternal death. That is also spiritually dead, by the way, but it's the one that most of our friends are experiencing right now is a temporary spiritual death. And without Christ, it leads into eternal spiritual death, an eternal separation from God, a separation from all hope of ever being delivered from that fire. That's what we deserve. But that is from what we've been saved, so that we can live with God forever in heaven. That death is brought about by our sins, which separates us from God. And that's what death really is separation from God. There are so many people who need to be introduced to God, that they can have God in their lives. and become spiritually alive. May we have the next slide, please. In which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. The devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. I call these the big bad three. These are the influences in our lives that lead us away from God and into sin, that lead us into open rebellion against God. And this, my friends, is what brings about the wrath of God. What is it that really makes God angry? Is when the people he loves rebel against him and refuse the salvation he gives openly and freely. The next phrase, please. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our own flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. There's that wrath of God, earned by people who turn their back on him and refuse the wonderful gifts he's given. Picture, if you will, a loving parent whose child continues to refuse the blessings the parents are trying to bestow on their children. Do you think that doesn't bring about wrath? Do you think this doesn't bring about anger in the parent? When the children choose the things that they know, the parents know, are going to destroy their children? That really upsets parents. And it upsets our God, who is our Heavenly Father. And the wrath of God is something we don't want to experience. Next sign, please. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, his great love, that love is just so great that we have to have a word coined to describe it, because love doesn't really get it all. And so we coined the word grace, the grace of God. That's a love that is so profound, a love that we don't earn. We can't earn it, but it's there because God is love. That's the very essence of what God is. He is love. And therefore, he loves you. He loves all people. And you, because he sent his son to save you. The next line. He made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And so we who were spiritually dead are made alive when we have Christ and God living in us, when God's Holy Spirit is there, constantly reminding us of the life God has given us. Dr. Brassey, a couple of weeks ago on Wednesday, is talking about the thief on the cross. And as I was thinking about that man on the cross, how he was dying, think about the comfort God gave him. The comfort that Jesus gave him when he said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." You know, we can suffer a whole lot in this life when we know we have the promise of God. We're made alive by grace. We've been saved, and that grace is there for us. It's there for us to hang on to during the darkest days of our life. How God has blessed us as he did that thief on the cross with the promise that you will be with me in paradise. It gives us something to hang on to, something to look forward to. May we see the next slide, please. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. This is that paradise Jesus is talking about, the heavenly realms. This is that beautiful place that God has planned for you and for me, not because we deserve it, but because of his love. Because of his grace. The next line, please. In order that in the coming ages we might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. The incomparable riches. How many of you have read the book of Revelation? Did you understand it all? There are descriptions there of heaven. which are so profound and so difficult to completely comprehend. But our words, our vocabularies, are not enough to be able to describe the incomparable riches of His grace that He's giving to you and me. How blessed we are in God's love. The next line, please. Now, this is pivotal. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. By grace you have been saved. How many people think that they're going to go to heaven if they're good enough? How many people aren't sure they're going to go to heaven because they don't know if they can ever be good enough? You and I, my friends, don't have that problem because we know we can't be good enough. God was good enough for us. In Jesus Christ, He took our place on the cross. We are totally forgiven, completely forgiven of all sins, all failures, all misdeeds. And we are given in its place the righteousness of God, the very goodness of God, which Jesus has earned for us. By grace, you have been saved, not of yourselves. It's not your works that do it. If it was by your works at all, if there was just one little thing that you had to do to earn your forgiveness, your salvation, could you ever be sure you've done enough? Then it wouldn't be a gift. If it's something you had to earn, even a little bit, it wouldn't be a gift. It is a gift of God, completely a gift from Him. We can't earn it. Next slide, please. Not by works, so that no one can boast. Oh, we like to boast, don't we? Like to pat ourselves on the back on how good we are. You know, it's amazing and humiliating how hard I try to be good. And let me, be successful in just a little bit. Boy, am I good. It's not me, is it? It's God in me. It is His gift, not what I do. I can't brag in it. It's what God is doing. Next slide, please. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Our salvation is not by works, but we are created for works. How can we reconcile these two statements? It's not that difficult. You see, you don't get faith by being good. Because you have faith, you want to be good. Because you have faith in Jesus Christ, because you love Him, because you know that His will is best for you, you want to do what He wants you to do. This is the result of faith, not in order to earn faith. And so we are His handiwork. He's the one who's working the good works in us. Once in a while, someone will say after church, "Pastor, that was really a good sermon." And I have to share with them that, "Thank you. But He writes the good ones, I write the bad ones." Okay? I mean, let's face it. Whenever you or I are successful in something, give God the credit. Give Him the glory. Do you remember what happened to King Herod? The Jews were praising him for a wonderful speech he had given. They said, "Oh, it's the voice of a god." And because he didn't give God the glory, he was immediately struck ill and worms were eating him away. We need to give God the glory, give God the credit. For when we accept credit unto ourselves for what we've done, it wasn't us. And we're stealing the glory from God. The next slide, please. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. This is the method by which God gave salvation to people who were bitten by a snake. And for you and me, it is the method by which we are saved from being bitten by the snake of sin. Look unto Christ. Look unto God. look unto God only, not unto our works, not unto anything we've done, not unto anything else, not in any good luck charm, but only in God. Next sign, please. That everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Eternal life as opposed to eternal death. Eternal blessing instead of eternal curse. This is the gift that God has given us who don't deserve it. Totally, purely a gift from him. Next slide, please. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Never heard that before, did you? Yeah, the gospel in a nutshell, it's one of those pivotal statements from God's word. So important for you and me. God loved the whole world. Why is that significant? You know, there are people in the world who live in that darkness of ignorance. Yeah, he died for the whole world, but not for me, because my sins are too great. And they have trouble believing in God. They have trouble trusting in him for that complete forgiveness, because they know who they are. And they don't have faith in God to be able to erase those sins, to be able to pay for those sins entirely, to be completely forgiven for their sins. The next slide, please. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. When we read the gospel, the New Testament, we read about the scribes and the Pharisees and how they tried to condemn Jesus. But he turned around and did everything he could to save them. See, there was another political party there too. There were the Sadducees. Jesus doesn't say much to those guys because, you see, they didn't accept the Bible at all. They didn't accept heaven or hell or angels or life after death. Can you imagine that? Here they are, leaders of the church, and they don't believe the basics. For them, they did not have faith. Jesus didn't worry about them. But it was the Pharisees who tried to earn salvation, who recognized God, who recognized their sinfulness, and thought they could undo their sinfulness by being good. That doesn't work. If I rob a bank, what am I? I'm a bank robber. Even if I give all the money back, I'm still a bank robber. I can't erase what I've done, but God did. Not only can he, but he did through Jesus Christ. The next line, please. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already. And this is the difference between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Those who didn't believe, those who refused to believe what really was, and those who thought they believed but got the bad information. They didn't get the memo. They didn't get the memo that we have to depend on God for our salvation and not how good we are. The next line, please. Because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. That's the bottom line, isn't it? To believe in him. What does that mean, to believe in him? It doesn't mean just simply accept that God existed, that Jesus came into the world, that Jesus lived and died on a cross so that people could be saved. It's more than simply acknowledging this to be true, but to acknowledge that it's true for you. That what he did it for you, that your sins are taken away, that you make it personal, that you can get on your knees and say, thank you, God, for what you did for me, and have that confidence of knowing, without a doubt, that you're going to live forever with him in heaven. The next line, please. That's it. That's it. That's the end. Goodbye. Seriously, It's not the end for us, is it? For Jesus Christ continues to live in you and for me. And his Holy Spirit is there in the Word and in the sacraments always for us. And how we are blessed every time we see that baptism certificate and know that we are baptized, children of God, saved, receiving the promise that God has made to us personally to know and to live in that promise that we may rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. For we are blessed. We live. We live through him. And so we look to him alone. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us now join in singing the song, Your Name. Let us now, in response to hearing God's word read and proclaimed, stand and confess our Christian faith according to the words of the explanation of the first article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger, guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, to serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, we give you thanks for having sent your only begotten Son to suffer the pangs of the cross. You alone have delivered us from the power of sin, death, and the devil. Keep our eyes fixed on the cross, that we may remember your crucifixion in reverence and awe and thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we praise you for having sent Jesus Christ to accomplish our redemption. We praise you for his extraordinary obedience, his reverent submission, and rejoice with all the saints in heaven and on earth that his death has secured our eternal life. Lord, create in us new and clean hearts. Grant us the joy of salvation. Draw us to you by the magnet of your love, so that we may firmly know and courageously confess the truth. And so, Lord, we pray for the sick and the grieving, for those troubled in mind or spirit, for those who struggle with relationships or emotional trauma. Grant, O Lord, the healing of heart and mind, of body and soul, for you are the physician of body and soul. And Lord, we pray, open our lips that we may declare your praise. Send your Spirit that we may witness boldly and winsomely. May your gracious will be done among us and bring us to know and to do your will. And Father, we thank and praise you for the healthy birth of Luca Michael Deutschle, the first grandchild to Bob and Joni Deutschle, who came in at 8 pounds, 5 ounces. Bless the child and mother, Lord God, with good health. Keep them in your care. Keep us all in your care, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament, given unto you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me.
Secrets, but it never
To strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace with joy. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Let us now join in singing the last song. This is Amazing Grace. Again, I thank you all for being here to worship with us. And a couple of very quick announcements. On this desk thing in front are the sign-up sheets for the Easter flowers. So come on up and sign up. And also, You couldn't have missed it coming in, but there is a book fair going on. And there is a special table where you can sign up for books and pay for books that can be used in the classroom that are recommended by the various teachers. And so, please, the proceeds of the book fair go to help our ministry here at St. Mark's. Thank you, and God bless you. Have a blessed week.